Today on Hardwired.
God keeps us running. God keeps us strong. God keeps us in the game, no matter what we experience. Now, I want to tell you that Paul and the other apostles, they suffered greatly, folks. They suffered in a way that we likely will never know, though I do believe that greater persecution is coming upon the church in America in the days to come. I believe that.
You are listening to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, the founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Maybe you've noticed that our culture is pretty messed up these days, which makes people feel anxious and filled with questions. They want peace, but have a hard time finding it or making it last. Well, Pastor Jeff is going to share in the message today about how you can finally be filled with hope, security, and most importantly, that peace you're looking for. We know that you're going to enjoy the message, but you can also listen to it again or any of the messages anytime you would like at our website, hardwired.org. Let's get right to the message. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up today on Hardwired.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Hardwired. You know, one of my heroes in the Bible has got to be the great Apostle Paul. You just couldn't knock him out of the race. Everything hell could unleash against him didn't prevail. Sort of like the Energizer Bunny, he just kept on going. Oh sure, there were times when he was knocked down, but he was never knocked out. Today we're going to look at how this should be true for every believer. So are you tired today? Do you feel defeated? Are you trying just to put one foot in front of another? I understand. And if that's you, I invite you to stay tuned for the message, Knocked Down But Not Out. Let's go. The Bible never promised no suffering. It promised grace in the midst of suffering, but never no suffering. And we're in a day and an hour right now where there's a lot of suffering going on. Amen? And so I want to read to you one of Paul's really transparent passages where he was talking to the Corinthian church. For some reason, if you read 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Paul is really laying his own sufferings out to them. For some reason, he just put it all on the table to the Corinthians. I don't know why, but he did. And here in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1, I'm going to read verse 1, then I'm going to jump down to verse 6 and read through verse 9. And so let's look at what Paul told the Corinthians about his own sufferings. He said, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, what are the next words, everybody, read them with me? We do not lose heart. I want you to catch that because that's the gist of where I'm going today. We don't lose heart. For God, verse 6, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give, look what God put inside of us, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Wow. He put that in you. For God, look what it says, has shone in our hearts light. The God who said, let there be light, and that's the first thing God created, light. Let there be light, and there was light. Now he said, the same God that did that has shined in your heart. He has said, let there be light in your heart, but not physical light, spiritual light. What kind of light? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, look what God did in verse 7. We have this treasure in jars of clay, ugly flesh. We have this treasure in us, in our mortal bodies, jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Now, he's going to show us what the surpassing power does, and I'm going to close. He said, first, we are hard-pressed on every side, but the surpassing power didn't let us get crushed. All right? Then he says, we were perplexed, but the surpassing power did not allow us to be driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, knocked down, but the surpassing power of God inside of us did not allow us to be destroyed. Amen?
That is good stuff. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for your blessing today on the Word of God. Thank you for those that are watching, Lord, by streaming video, and we welcome them into the sanctuary with us today. God bless you. And Father, we just pray that in the living rooms and in the sanctuary house today, you will manifest this surpassing power, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in Jesus' face. Lord, let us walk out of here edified, exhorted, and comforted, strengthened in our faith, ready to take on another day in the power of God. We thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for divine revelation on your word, for making it live in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, give a shout out to your neighbor and tell them this is going to be good. You better write something down, take notes. Amen. Now, verse 1 sets the stage for the rest of the text that we read. I want to go back to it. Paul said, we do not lose heart. We go through all kinds of troubles and problems and trials and tribulations, but even in spite of all of them, we do not faint. That's the idea. We don't faint on the inside. We don't put up the white flag. We don't walk away and give up on God. We don't leave the prayer closet. We don't stop reading the word. We don't get out of church. We don't get out of fellowship. We don't quit the race. No matter what happens to us, God keeps us afloat. God keeps us running. God keeps us strong. God keeps us in the game. No matter what we experience. Now, I want to tell you that Paul and the other apostles, they suffered greatly, folks. They suffered in a way that we likely will never know, though I do believe that no doubt greater persecution is coming upon the church in America in the days to come. I believe that because it's already increased. But what Paul and them went through, he tells us, he lays it out. He's very honest. He says, we were beaten, we were imprisoned. We were cursed, we were persecuted, we were abused. We were slandered, we were ostracized, we were treated like dirt. Quoting him, like the scum of the earth is how we were treated. Makes you want to be an apostle, doesn't it? All right? And there were times it was even worse than that. Listen to what he said to the Corinthians in the first chapter of 2 Corinthians. Listen to what he said. He wrote, we think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed. We were overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. And we thought we would never live through it. Now there the apostle is telling us that he went through a trial that they wondered if they were even going to emerge on the other side alive. Now I don't know if you've ever been through anything like that. Some of you have. Some of you have had life and death struggles in this world. And I don't know if you've ever been to the place where you wondered, am I even going to get out of this? Forget getting out of this someday. Am I going to get out of this alive? That's what the Apostle Paul went through. And I believe that's what he's talking about in the text we read. He's elaborating on it when he says, hard-pressed, perplexed, persecuted, knocked down. Those are his adjectives. Those are his descriptives of what he went through. Again, we were hard pressed. We were perplexed, confused. We were persecuted. We were literally knocked down. Now that's honesty. He's not trying to paint a picture of, hey, we're the mighty apostles, God's men of faith and power for the hour. Everywhere we go, it's just blessed and favored and all of this. No, he says, we went through hell on this earth. We went through hell and back in our ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thought we were going to die. He's telling us here that the devil and wicked people did their best to take them out. But through the power of Jesus Christ, not only did they survive, but they thrived and they won the battle every time. So you have a paradox here. You have him describing what he went through, but then telling us every time, but it did not succeed in totally taking us out. Now, let me bring this down to where we live today. We're living in increasingly perilous times. If that's news to you, come down after the service, and I want to lay hands on you and pray for you that your eyes will be open, because we are definitely in perilous times. I came to Christ in the early 70s. Well, in the late 60s, I was saved. But in the early 70s, I entered the ministry. And I want to tell you, it's not the same America today as it was then. We are in a totally different nation, a totally different land, with totally different rules, totally different beliefs. The depths to which America has plunged in my lifetime amazes me. We're living in perilous times. And did the Bible tell us that would be the case in the last days? Know this, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Dangerous times, difficult times for those walking with God. America is boiling over with anger and hatred and division and offenses and lawlessness and anarchy. And it seems that it's only escalating. It seems that it's like a snowball going down a hill. And it's getting larger and worse as we watch. Now, I'm not saying this to get you down, because I believe that God is in charge of all of it. But this is the reality that we wake up to now. And the church is experiencing persecution on a level that in all of my years of ministry, I've never witnessed, not in America. I knew about it overseas. I knew about it in other nations, you know, China, Muslim nations. I was well aware of the persecution. But now it's come to our door. Now it's come to us. Now you can take certain states where it's worse than others. But in California, they're being fined for meeting in church. They're being fined. I read this precious older pastor, bald, glasses, older man. You could tell he's a sweet guy, a loving guy, loves people, has this massive church in California, a Baptist minister. And he was saying that already they have been fined $10,000 and threatened with arrest for meeting in a church building, the community of which has very little COVID. There is no rational reason for them to be shut down, but they have been. And so we know that it's because the powers that be do not like the Christian church meeting. And they are actually now shutting churches down. Charismatic, non-charismatic, denominational, non-denominational. They're being shut down and threatened with fines and arrests and all kinds of consequences. Another church had its parking lot taken away from them. They had been leasing this parking lot for over 40 years to the tune of $8,200 a month. For 40 years, they've paid the city $8,200 a month to use this parking lot. And out of nowhere, LA took the parking lot away from them, leaving their people nowhere to park because they insisted on meeting in the house of God.
We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in a moment to close out today's program. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple: to share the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ in a way that gets hardwired into your life. And we trust these messages from Pastor Jeff aren't something you can only listen to and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear. And that's why it's a priority to us. And you get to join us in this important mission. Call us at 877-884-3111 to say you're in. Or drop us a line at our website, hardwired.org. Well, here's Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
So we need Paul's words today that encourage us. Because he says, in spite of all of our trials, we were not crushed. We were not left to despair. We were not forsaken, and we were not destroyed. Amen. 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 Say it with me. Not crushed, not in despair, not forsaken, and not destroyed. Now, like Paul, many of you are hard pressed today. There's a lot of you that feel very hard pressed, and you feel perplexed. I've had seasons of perplexity during this whole COVID thing, and I'm going to elaborate on these words in just a moment. But you feel perplexed. You don't understand what's gone down in your life. And you're asking God for wisdom, and you're asking Him for mercy, and you're asking Him for grace. You're saying, Lord, speak to me. I don't understand. I feel perplexed or persecuted. You're being attacked for your faith, maybe for the first time in your life. And guess what? It might even be coming from your own home and your own kin and your own family. It has me. I said it has me. And I've had to just love people no matter what they said to me about my beliefs. Or you're cast down. Some of you feel so cast down, and watching right now by streaming, you feel so cast down that you don't know if you're going to get up again. Well, I'm here to tell you today that you're going to get up again. I'm going to show you that you're going to get up again, because the one who got up again lives inside of you. Amen? So if you're feeling hard-pressed and perplexed and persecuted and cast down, this message is for you. And if you don't feel that way yet, buckle your seatbelt. You're going to, and you're going to need to go back in the archives and get this message. Now, the first thing we hear is this, and I'm sort of taking each one of them, and I'm going to tell you what I believe it means in a nutshell. So when it comes to feeling hard-pressed, here's what this is telling me. Pressure will not defeat us. I am hard-pressed, but I am not defeated. I'm hard-pressed. We are hard-pressed on every side, but it has not crushed me. I'm experiencing being hard-pressed. God has allowed me to go through a trial where I'm hard-pressed, but he's also not allowed me to be crushed by it. The word pressed here is from a Greek word meaning to constrict or compress or to be confined, hemmed in, or restricted to a narrow place. We are hard-pressed. I don't like elevators. I got stuck in one once for 4 hours. And it's a good thing I was alone, because I would have killed somebody if that had been in there with me, because I was having a real problem being stuck in that elevator. But see, I don't like elevators. I especially don't like elevators when they're full. If I'm standing waiting for an elevator and that sucker opens up and I see that it's full, I just wave goodbye to them, because I'm not going to get in. Because when they're full and you step in there, you are pressed in tight, with people pressing against you on every side. And my thought is always, if this thing gets stuck with me pressed in with all these people, it's gonna be a bad scene in this elevator. But here's the deal. That's what the picture is here. It's like you're in an elevator and it's full of people, but the people are trials, and the trials are pressing in. They have ganged up together, and trials are coming at you from every side. You've got a trial on the right, a trial on the left, a trial coming up from behind, and a trial in front of you. So you feel hard pressed, and they're pressing in on you. Jacob felt this way in Genesis 42:36 when he said, "Everything is going against me." Ever feel that way? Everything is going against me. Now, Paul said, when this happened to him and his fellow apostles, when they're out there on the road preaching the gospel, winning people to Christ, building churches, when this happened to them, he said, the Lord did not allow the multiple trials to crush us. He did not protect us from the trials, but he protected us in the trial. He did not allow the trials to do us in. Now see, in other words, God had his hand on the dial of their trials. When they reached a certain point, the Lord said, far enough, no further, stop here. Now, I guarantee you, if you're feeling hard-pressed today, the Lord is watching everything you're going through. He's aware of everything. Paul said God was watching everything we went through. He didn't stop us from being hard-pressed, but as soon as it got more than we could bear, when we were even despairing of our life, God said, that's it. Far enough. Devil, you can't go any further. Circumstances, you can't go any further. People that are coming against them, you can't go any further. And God lowered the boom and set a boundary. God set a boundary for their trial. And folks, I want you to know that the God of the Bible is a God of boundaries. He's a God of boundaries. Listen to what Psalms say about him in 74, verse 17. He says, you, God, have established all the boundaries of the earth. He sets boundaries on all of his creation. God has established all the boundaries that are in the earth. And that includes the boundaries of your trials. God puts a boundary. Have you ever stood at the seashore and here comes these waves rolling in and asked yourself, how in the world do they just not keep on coming and cover this whole beach and cover the world in water? What stops the waves when they stop? God does. Because God set boundaries, and God said, you can go this far and no further, this far and no further. And can I tell you today, church, the devil is a dog on a leash. we talk a lot about the devil, all the devil this and that and the other, and devil's attacking me, and the devil's done this and that. But let me tell you something. The devil's a dog on a leash. He can't move one step without God's permission, because our God is a God of boundaries. He sets boundaries on our trials, and he will not allow our trials to go beyond a certain place, a certain mark in the sand, a boundary. He sets the boundaries. And he said, I'm not going to keep you from them because they teach you to trust me, but I'm not going to let your trials crush you. They will not take you out. You are not going down. You're going through. It's not what I'm going through. It's what I'm going to. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God's got his hand on the dial of your trial. Amen. Can we thank the Lord today? Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen. So stay with me. God's got his hand on the dial of my trial. It's absolutely true. Now, the second thing we learn here is this. Confusion will not discourage us. He said, we are perplexed, but we are not driven to despair. We are perplexed, but we aren't driven to despair. Now, perplexed is an interesting word, and I'm going to show you what they mean in the original language, because the original language will open up windows to these words and what they mean. And we need to know what Paul was thinking when he wrote it. So perplexed is from a Greek word meaning at a loss. To be without resources, to be in straits, to not know which way to turn. That's what it means. We are perplexed. We're at a loss. Paul said, there have been times we were at a loss. We didn't know which way to turn. We didn't know what was going down. We didn't know what we were supposed to do, how we were going to handle this, if we would even come out alive. We were in straits. We didn't have the resources to get us out. We didn't know what God was going to do or how he was going to do it. We were perplexed. And in that honesty, now if I'm the mighty apostle and I'm writing the Bible that's going to be read for 2,100 years, I don't know if I'm going to say those things. I'm just going to say, glory to God, it's all been good. I'm God's man of faith and power for the hour. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm favored. I'm blessed. I'm this and I'm that. But Paul said, no, there were times we didn't know what was going on. We were perplexed. Out of nowhere, a trial hit us. You know, life throws curveballs. Anybody ever had a curveball thrown at you by life? Life throws curveballs. Out of nowhere, a trial comes knocking that leaves us at a total loss. We don't know which way to turn. We're totally taken by surprise. I can tell you, there have been times in my life where life threw me a curveball. And I think some of you can identify with this, but there were times in my life where I just looked up and all I could pray was, Lord, I don't know what to do. Have mercy on me. This is bigger than I am and I don't know where to turn. There were times I couldn't even pray that. There were times I got two words out, help me. Amen? Now, that may not be very eloquent, but sometimes that's the most raw, real, greatest prayer you can pray. How many of you have ever said, Lord, I don't know what to pray. Just help me. Help me. And that's what perplexed means. When you just look up and say, Lord, I don't understand the circumstances. I don't understand what I'm going through. I don't get it. I thought this was going to happen. But this is happening instead. I thought I was going to go here, but I'm going there instead. I thought it was going to be this person, but it's that person. I assume things that have turned out to not be true. Or, Lord, I'm experiencing a trial that I can't make head or tails of. And, Lord, I don't know what to do. That's perplexed. That's perplexed. And Paul said, we were perplexed, but the Lord did not allow it to drive us into despair. And you know what? In my own life, when I just had to look up and say, I don't know what to do, Lord, help me, Lord, please help me. Help this boy. Help Jeff Wickwire. He always came through, and I always got to the other side, and I always ended up looking back going, well, I didn't know how I was going to get out, but I got out. I didn't know how I was going to stand up again, but I stood up again. I didn't know how I was going to make it through, but I made it through. How'd I do it? Not by might, not by power, but by the grace and the Spirit of the Lord, I made it through. And God carries us through things like that so that we can look up and say, Lord, it wasn't my doing, it was your doing. I could never have done it, but you did it. And so I give you all the praise. If you've had something like that lately, can we just lift our hands and just say, thank you, Jesus.
We appreciate you listening today to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Every program we do has one main thing in mind, and that's to share the hope and good news of Jesus Christ to people who need to hear this message and hardwire the teaching into their daily life. That's what this ministry is all about. So if you've been encouraged by the message, we would love to hear about it. Pick up your phone and give us a call at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Or go online to our website at hardwired.org. And be sure to bookmark the web address to your favorites folder so you can come back often. Also, would you consider getting on board with us as a faithful ministry partner? Your valuable contribution makes a big difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out through this program to people everywhere. Your generosity, along with this ministry, is reaching people in a way that you may never have the ability to do on your own. So jump on board as a Hardwired partner by calling us at 877-884-3111 or go online to hardwired.org, 877-884-3111 or hardwired.org. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you so very, very much. Have a great rest of the day, and thanks for listening to Hardwired.